you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember the back to school days. When I was in middle school, I was a part of a school that had like every sports program out there and not a lot of students, so they wanted everyone to play. Are you guys okay? Okay, all right, all right, just wanted to make sure. And the best description for me back then would have been scrappy. Some people have hustle and flow, I just had hustle. That was it. I had a work ethic, I was never big, I was never incredibly fast, but I would try anything with enthusiasm, an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. And so a pickup game of basketball was never something I would shy away from. And so I actually remember really vividly this one day back to school, after school, I think it was eighth grade, playing a pickup game of basketball out on the asphalt court. Anyone play on cement? All right, you play on cement, asphalt, something like that. And I remember this one game, and there was particular guys in my class that were known for being good at sports. We had words for them. I was not one of those, but you ever show up somebody like that and there's consequences? Yeah, so I was scrappy. So I was actually a great rebounder on my team, even though I couldn't do anything else well enough to get put on the court. And I remember one time I boxed out this friend of mine named Paul. I boxed out Paul, got the rebound, and the next thing I know, I'm on my back. Paul was upset and tackled me to the asphalt. And before I knew what was going on, I was looking up at him as he was pulling his fist back about to hit me. And I thought, uh-oh, this is not good. And just as quick as that happened, I saw a blur and Paul go flying off of me. Now, I had this friend who was less talented at sports than I was, a guy adopted out of Korea named Todd. And Todd and I were thick as thieves a lot of times, and sometimes we were thieves, and that's a story for another day. And all of a sudden, Todd had, I don't know how, because he did not have ninja speed, but Todd had somehow seen this developing faster than I had, and came flying over, pulled Paul off of me, tackled him to the ground, and they started to scuffle. In that moment, I felt safe and sound. I felt safe and sound. And as school went on through middle school, I felt a little bit safer. You know what I mean? Let's turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. One of my favorites. We just finished a series on Psalm 23, and that'll help us a little bit with this psalm and with recently kind of having a picture in our minds of David, the author of most of these songs and poems. And so it should be kind of fresh in our memory. Psalm 91. Everybody found it? Okay. Psalm 91. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in Him. For He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Let's skip ahead to the last three verses, verses 14 through 16. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. But doesn't that sound good? Let's go back to the first verse. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. Sorry. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, it's a beautiful thing, these words. It's a deep, it's a meaningful, it's a life-changing peace from which these words are penned. The Lord is my shelter. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is. In Him, I am safe. In Him, I'm safe and sound. Safe and sound meaning I'm intact. I'm healthy. I'm strong. In Him, I'm safe and sound. He alone, my refuge. He alone, my shelter. It struck me coming out of the series on Psalm 23 and talking about being at rest in His care, that the question that might be resonating a lot inside of us is, how? And as peaceful and meaningful as the words of this psalm are to me, and we actually see that even Jesus had the words of this psalm memorized, as peaceful, as reassuring, as comforting, as wonderful as these words are, it strikes me that we can be stuck with questioning the first phrase. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High. We love, it's easy, it's convenient to talk about God and God's unconditional love, but it's actually not unconditional. And in fact, a lot of the promise in Scripture is conditional, has conditions to them. And this song, in talking about a place of rest and finding rest, is actually talking about finding rest in the condition of living in His presence. It's a beautiful song. It's a wonderful song. And it would be easy for me to massage the benefits of it, the comfort of it, the joy of it, and yet leave you really defrauded, and yet leave you really frustrated, and leave you feeling disconnected and far from God. And so I don't want to do that. In fact, tonight what I want to do in follow-up of our series on Psalms 23 and in connection with this beautiful song is talk really practical. How? How do I live in that shelter? How do I live in His presence? Are you with me? Am I answering a question you're not asking? Well, if you weren't before, maybe you're asking it now, right? How? How do I live in the shelter of the Most High? How is this possible? Well, I want to introduce you to some PB slang. So I've been, since my youth pastor days, called PB, not for peanut butter, for Pastor Ben. Some PB slang is TOG. Not toggle. TOG. How's your TOG? How is your time alone with God? It's impossible to be a follower of Jesus without having time alone with God. It's impossible to truly know the life-changing peace, the arriving at real rest, the being able to breathe in the joy of the Lord without time alone with God. And Jesus knew this for a fact. How do I know? I'm glad you asked. Mark 1:35, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Luke 6:12, one day soon afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. Matthew 14:23, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell when he was there alone. Jesus wasn't making a show about getting alone. In fact, the followers had to ask him to teach them how to pray. Did you notice that? If Jesus himself, 100% God and 100% human, tempted in every way that we were, been name-called, beaten, betrayed, misunderstood, made fun of, and ultimately put to death. If Jesus himself needed some tug, so do I. So do I. I talked about a number of times during our series on Psalm 23, the reality that you can be at rest. And that rest is different than vacation. Rest is not, because some vacations are not restful. Right? Play is one thing that God created us for. God created us to experience joy when we play. And some of us could play a little more. Did you know that God's in having fun? But rest is different than play. Rest involves being alone, being quiet, having some solitude, breathing. It doesn't mean that you've got to pray the Lord's Prayer over and over and over, intercede and beg God for stuff. No, rest in God's presence is about peace, about calm, about surrender. Recently, I was telling you a little bit about my story and about how I used to sneak out of my parents' house four times a week in the middle of the night and be out all hours and out with my friends and out doing stuff and doing whatever I could to make myself happy, not following God, trying to make life make sense on my own. Well, what happened through a variety of life and death circumstances and me coming to a place of realizing that this pursuit of trying to make myself happy apart from God was pointless was one particular night, which I've told you about before, where I let go of trying to do it myself and made a decision to follow Jesus, whatever that meant. But I didn't stop sneaking out. But what I did when I snuck out changed. See, there's no way to really tell my story, the story of my life, if we were to sit down over coffee and you were to ask me to just tell you the story of my life. There's no way for me to tell you the story of my life because who I am today is changed by what time alone with God did to me then. So what I would do is I'd sneak out of my parents' house. I'd be out on the street in the middle of the night. And I grew up always in the city limits, a neighborhood in Portland that was on the first three seasons of the TV show Cops. So I was out on the streets in the city. But what I would do is I would, instead of trying to find people, I would try to be alone. And I would walk and talk and listen and talk and listen until God was done. And the truth of the matter is that from that day to this, I've done some form of that every day. Not because I want to be able to say that. Not because I want points or your approval rating. Because I don't know how to live without it. I really don't. I can tell you one thing for sure. I don't know how to do life without God. I tried it. I'm bad at it. And so, yes, I pray for you, and yes, I pray for the peace of Baltimore, and yes, I take many prayer requests before God. But what also happens, one way you know something's wrong, if I'm grouchy, that means that I've not had enough quiet time. Some of you have seen me grouchy. Like, oh, yeah, I know that one. Yeah. See, you can work during your time alone with God. And some of that's good, because when Jesus' followers asked him to teach him how to pray, the prayer that he taught them is, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. In that prayer, that power tool, which we talked about last summer, there is rest and work. But I want to focus on the rest part. I know the fact of the matter is that if everybody in this room were completely honest, prayer is kind of intimidating. It's weird. It's not something that we do. We don't understand it. And we like to be around other people every once in a while that do it, but not too much. This is a church where we're honest, right? But that's just because we haven't really experienced how good it can be. The fact of the matter is, you can't pull the Bible and read it through without coming away with one simple truth, with many, but one in particular, that is, prayer is for everyone. And that it's simple. And then you don't need to say the right words. You don't need to pretend like you're somebody else. You don't need to have a $20 vocabulary. But what you need is to be honest. In fact, when Jesus talked about prayer, he specifically said it's not for show. It's not for show. It's your personal relationship with God. And I'm here to tell you today that you can feel better when you're in this place. And you can feel better throughout your whole week. You can not only feel better, but you can actually be better with a healthy dose of talk, of time alone with God. To rest in His presence. God's Word tells us to be still and know that He is God. See, I still like to walk the streets of the city at night and be by myself. I still like to get out on the beach when there's nobody there. And when we lived in Portland, Oregon, that was a lot easier because the beach is cold. You could go to the beach most months of the year and find a time of day and be completely by yourself because everybody else wants to sit inside the house with heat and cover from the rain. Out here, it's a little harder to get to the beach and be by yourself. But I like to be on the beach by myself because I like to stand so close to the water that that's all I can see. Because it used to distract me, and now it settles me. Because it reminds me when I look across the ocean that I am incapable of swimming across. I know that's hard to believe. I look pretty fit. There's no way I would drown. Not only that, I am incapable of creating an ocean. You could give me the team of the best scientists in the world, and I couldn't create it. Not only that, every time a scientific expedition goes into the deep of the ocean, they discover new species. Earth, we don't understand it yet. When I stand at the ocean, I'm reminded that God is in control. And that no matter how out of control, how intimidating, how frustrating, how whatever my life becomes, God is in control. You remember what we said last week? God's got this. God's got this. And for that to settle into our spirits, for us to answer the question, how do I live in the shelter of the Most High? It starts when you make time to be alone with God. It doesn't happen without that. Now, there were a lot of nights when I would walk and spend a lot of my energy talking out what I was upset about, what I was frustrated about, what I was angry about. I'd been betrayed. I'd been hurt. I'd been used. I had used other people. I had regret. I had shame. I had guilt. It was not an instantaneous, oh, I'm better. No, night after night after night. But what God began to do as I would get alone with Him and talk to Him is that I would talk myself out and then I would become very quiet. You ever know what it's like to try to pray maybe at the end of your work day and you got a bajillion thoughts going on? It's like, yeah. I'm saying the words, God, but I'm not really here. We have to do whatever it takes to come to a place of just Him. Just Him. Well, night after night, I would bark out my frustrations. Cry it out, hug it out, whatever, talk it out. And God would begin to speak to me. I didn't know how that stuff worked. I hadn't done a Bible study on it yet before. Nobody told me about it. But God would begin to speak to me. I know what it's like to be so tired. I mean, I'm looking around the room. A lot of us are tired. I know it's kind of that time of year, that time of the day. But maybe a little less sleep would bring us some more peace. You know, like cold water, physiologically in your body, does more to wake you up than caffeine. It's true. Ask your doctor. Maybe it's time to set your alarm for 2 a.m. I mean, I've heard from enough people in this room, my life's not working. What do you have to lose? Because if we're honest, what we're doing is not working out so well. If I want life-changing peace, it's time to mix it up. It's time to try something different. It's time to do whatever it takes to get alone with God. Maybe that means telling some people in your life that you love, I'm sorry, I need a time out right now. I need to go be with the Maker. Whatever it takes, get creative. Ask somebody how it works. God's Word. How do I live in His presence? How do I become closer to Him? The truth of the matter is that these night after night after night of me talking it out and God beginning to speak to me in real peace, it did not come with me just being alone with my own thoughts. It came with me searching out God's thoughts. Did you know that God has expressed Himself? I'm not trying to be sarcastic or condescending. The truth of the matter is, the functional truth, is that in many of our lives, we don't realize, we know it somewhere, but we don't act like we believe that God has actually spoken to us. But He has. At length. And I find many that are more familiar with what bloggers or other friends believe on many of the subjects in life and not familiar with what the Maker believes. And the truth of the matter is that any amount of just listening to me or reading my writings online is going to help you a little bit, but not nearly as much as what you learn when you dig it out yourself. And that takes time and energy. But you know, there's this amazing benefit that comes from it. And here's what I've found. Psychologists and doctors believe that in a person's identity, the three most precious commodities are security, identity, and a sense of belonging. Security, identity, and a sense of belonging. And here's what I've found. I was a wreck of a human. I convinced a lot of people that I had it all together. But I was a wreck of a human. And only by becoming gut-level honest and willing to do the work of searching out God's thoughts did how I thought begin to change. Okay, how do we do this? I'm glad that you asked. Let's talk that through for a second. Let's say, for example, what you're feeling is weak, overwhelmed. Well, you may know that if you have one of these, a physical Bible, you can actually turn to the back, and there is a section with words in alphabetical order. And I can go back here, and in that, there's going to be a list of verses with those words. It's called a concordance, and in most Bibles that we have today, it's kind of small because it doesn't cover all of them. But let's say, for example, I'm feeling weak. I can come back here, and I can go to strength. Or strong, and I can see a list of verses. So, for example, here in this one, just picking a rabbit out of a hat, so to speak. That was a bad example. The first one is Exodus chapter 15 and verse 2. And Exodus chapter 15 and verse 2, this says, "The Lord is my strength." That's the first one. Now, here's how you do this. It's okay, you won't offend me if you get out your camera phone. Snap a picture of that. Here's how you do this, okay? I'm trying to help you out. How do I come to a place of life-changing peace, of feeling safe and sound? Well, one thing is accessing my Bible, and you know, you can also do this through Google. It's true, okay? I can go to Google on my phone or on a computer or whatever, and I can type in strength, Bible verses, and I can get a list of Bible verses. It's true. It works. Okay? So the first thing you've got to do that you see on the top of the screen there is search. And sometimes that takes some thought. And so let me just start by saying this. It's a really good idea to write down what you're frustrated about. It's a really good idea to write down what your questions are. And you don't have to show anyone. Maybe everyone around you thinks you're a Christian, but you really don't believe that God exists. Write it down. What are your questions? Why do you question these things? Write the questions down. And then from writing down your frustrations and your questions, you can kind of formulate a question or a topic or a theme that you can then search out in the scripture and find out for yourself. The last thing that I want is for you to come here and take my opinions as gospel. They're not! Now, I work hard to only express stuff that comes straight from the Bible, but what I want more than anything, and what I love about people that before they come to church for the first time or the first couple weeks that they come, will come and grab me and say, "Hey, where's that in the Bible?" I love that! I don't get defensive. That fires me up. Because I believe that God did express himself, and one thing that I constantly post on social media is an article about how we got the Bible. How do I know the Bible is God's word? I'm so glad you asked. I constantly repost this article that's all about that. And if you doubt the credibility of the Bible, but you haven't read this article, I doubt the credibility of your question. Because I don't think you really care about the answer. It may be that you want to excuse some bad behavior that makes you feel better, but you don't honestly really discredit the credibility of the Bible or God, that God exists. Because you're not being honest about your question. You're not being scientific. I just believe in science, but I'm not going to take the scientific standard to questions about God and the scripture. So it's something that I would admire greatly if we could start to do. I want to take the same proofs and I want to apply those questions. It does work. It does work. So I want to take a topic. Let's say that I've come away with I feel weak. Okay, so strength. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take search strength. I'm going to come up with a list of scriptures, and the second heading that we have up here is then I'm going to read each one. Now, with a big topic like strength, you're going to have some words that are not relevant to your search, like the mule was strong. Okay, so that's not relevant to your search. So you've got to toss out the ones that are not relevant to your search. And then as you toss those out, what you've got to do is follow the big themes. Are you guys with me? I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to put a tool in your hand so that you can be stronger, so that you can be more at peace. Okay? So I've got a list of scriptures. I'm going to read each scripture, and this may take some time, especially if you start with a really common word like strength or love or something like that. Okay? That's going to take some time. But what I've got to do is I've got to pull out all the other ones, right, that are not relevant to me. And then as I read all the ones that are relevant to me, I need to look for the big themes. What are the big themes in the Bible? What is it that God is communicating? Once I've identified the big themes, I need to observe the plain, simple truth about the scriptures. Let me just give you an example. One of the ones that I memorized that meant a lot to me, when Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So if I'm searching fear, that's going to be one of the ones in the list that I'm going to read. And if I'm going to observe the plain, simple truth about that scripture, I'm going to come away with the observation that if I am not like just a one-time fearful of a dog that jumps out from the house or something like that, but like I have a fear that gnaws at me, that comes up in a recurring way, that is affecting how I live. Well, the Bible says that doesn't come from God. That's the plain, simple truth. The Bible says that doesn't come from God. Okay? The Bible says that God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So now I've observed the plain, simple truth, and now what I've got to do is apply that truth. Okay? So I've got, in applying that truth, maybe what I need to do is I need to take out a piece of paper or a post-it 3x5 card Sharpie on my forearm maybe, and I've got to write out the verse. Write out the verse, and then I've got to write out the plain, simple truth. A spirit of fear doesn't come from God. Okay? And then to apply it, I've got to start to include that in my thinking. Right? That's got to start to become a part of me, start to become a part of my normal responses. Okay? That's applying it to my life. There are other things where application is a little bit more detailed and common sense. It's very easy to see. Then from there, I got to practice it. I got to do it. So that means that when the recurring fear comes, I've got to choose to not be afraid. I've got to put it into practice. Here's what I would encourage you. Find the scriptures that jump out at you. Memorize them. And pray them. In Matthew 4, we get a strange story. Jesus has decided to be alone. Jesus is using an ancient practice of meditation, prayer, and fasting. He's alone. And the Bible says that the devil comes to him to tempt him. And in fact, the devil comes and uses a quote from this psalm that we're reading tonight, Psalm 91. And what Jesus does in response to each of the three times that the devil comes to tempt him is that he quotes scripture back at the devil. If you can learn this principle, it will change your life. I can say the sky is purple and it does not make it true. And it has no power. I can say God has not given me a spirit of fear and it is true and it has power. When you do a search and you find scriptures that jump off the page at you, memorize them. Whatever it takes, memorize them, quote them, pray them, and then use them. It's a great book, Isolating Insecurity. And this is one principle that's referred to in this book, Isolating Insecurity. It's not a long book. It's an easy read. But this is one of the principles that's talked about there that has made a huge difference in my life that I thank God somebody else taught me how to do. If I memorize the Word of God, it has power because it is the Word of God. When I rightly use it and I apply it to my life, it has power. Life-changing peace. Being at rest in the presence of God, at rest in His care, even in times of pressure, even in times of being overwhelmed by what's coming at me in my life. It is possible to be at rest. It is possible to live in His presence. It is possible for God to be your refuge. One more. I'll give you three tonight. How? It's better together. It's better together. As I began to really change, when it came to the Bible, I drove people crazy because the Bible was frustrating as all get out to me. I could not understand it. So for years, I was pestering anybody who would listen to me, asking them questions about verses. Like, this one doesn't make sense, and this one seems to contradict that one, and I don't understand. I drove people crazy with scripture questions. So listen, I'm not trying to be your answer man, but if you ask me questions, I've got some patience because I had a lot of questions myself. But what I learned by asking other people questions, at first, I didn't care about the relationship with them. I just wanted to get my question answered. But then I started to notice something. And, you know, being a selfish, arrogant person, this was a learning curve for me. They had really good stuff to say. And the relationship was helpful. The relationship was really helpful. And I started to notice something. I started to have more peace. I noticed something in my life. And to be honest with you, this took a few years from the first nights of sneaking out at night, walking the streets and talking to God. This took a few years. But I noticed that as I would talk to God and as I would study the scripture and as I would build relationships with other people, that all of a sudden I had more peace. I had a stronger sense of security. I had a better sense of my identity, of who I was. And I had a sense of belonging. I had woken up to the fact that I was a part of the family of God. And that was really something for me, because even though I had great parents, I always felt awkward. Last one picked, never fit in, always 15 degrees off of cool, still am. Never really, like, I was never that person. But all of a sudden, through following Jesus together with other people, I had this sense of, I was a part of something. I belonged. That's what we want for this church more than anything else, really. We're here to be helping you connect with Jesus, grow in faith, and share His love. And I got news for you. It doesn't happen without your personal relationship with God. And it doesn't happen without you investing in relationships with other people that are in this room. You got to go roller skating with the Beaties on Monday night at the Gospel of the Shake and Bake. You got to go work the community garden with Justin and Becky. There's Justin right there. You got to roll up your sleeves. You got to go work in the wood shop with Joe. Duck pin bowling. I like to eat. Do you like to eat? Let's go eat. You got to start to push out the junk in life and make room for the relationships that matter. Now, I'm not talking about cutting out everybody in your life, because God put you in certain relationships because He wants you to be an influence. Because when you are at peace, you change the atmosphere in the room. One of the people that I led to Jesus actually grew up in Baltimore and was out in Portland, Oregon, working in my office. And one day I'm making coffee in the break room, as I often do. And she came up behind me and she said, "I don't get it." What? So I don't get it. Why aren't you stressed? We were just in this company-wide thing that was going on. It was crazy. It was very stressful. So, and I started to try to answer a question. And I realized I was just talking nonsense, and I just stopped. And I said, "God, I have to be honest. Jesus is who I talk to. Jesus is what I hold on to. Jesus is why I have peace in the middle of a tough situation." Maybe it's time for us to stop asking God to get us out of the tough situation and to give us peace in the tough situation. One more quick practical suggestion. You handle one more? I promise it's the last one. When you're going to get together with somebody else that's a life-giving relationship in your life, maybe send them a text ahead of time and say, "Hey, when we get together, I just want to talk about good stuff." That's what that scripture, speaking the truth in love, is talking about, not a Christian airing of grievances. Okay? "Hey, I just want to talk about good stuff. So here's three questions that you can ask each other." No, for real. Write this down. This is good stuff. "Here's three questions that you can ask each other that will help you have a positive, life-giving conversation. Number one, what do you love about God?" It's okay if there's a long pause. What do you love about God? What has God done for you? What has God taught you? Aren't those good? What do you love about God? What has God done for you? What has God taught you? Will you stand with me? Let's close in prayer. Just before I pray, I love you guys. I love being here. I love Rebecca. Tomorrow's our 19th wedding anniversary. And I am incredibly thankful to Rebecca for staying by my side as I was really difficult to live with. What I'm talking about tonight has not come easy for me. Coming to real peace in God, for years, I couldn't find it. And the truth is that I made life really difficult for Rebecca. And it didn't have to be. But it was really because I didn't get this. This will really help all of your relationships. Let me read the passage just one more time. We'll pray, okay? "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation." God, I thank you that you are alive, that you are aware, that you are able to make a change in our lives. Lord, we need your help. We need your help. We often don't find it easy to come to you, to come to a place of peace in you. God, I ask that you please help us. Help us, Lord, that when we set aside time to be alone with you, that you would be right there, that you'd eliminate distractions, that you'd open our spiritual eyes, that you'd open our spiritual ears. Help us as we turn to the scripture to search out your thoughts. Help us to quickly see your truth. Help us to memorize it, speak it. Help us, Lord, to make time for relationships with each other and enjoy each other's company and be a support, be an encouragement to each other. Lord, as we wrap up this summer and transition into fall, I ask that you would help us find life-changing peace. Thank you. I thank you that it's real. I thank you that it's possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you guys. Grace and peace to you. Just want to remind you that right behind this wood wall to my right, there'll be some refreshments, something to eat, something to drink. Great opportunity for you to exchange phone numbers with somebody, set up a time.